Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 9:04 on the clock on this May 31st, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, Mr. Seth Habager.
Good morning, everyone.
Hope the day is treating you good. We got great stuff lined up for you. We're going to get in some entertainment news. We got some Danny Wright stuff a little bit later. Good stories of the day. Some local good stuff we'll get to. All of this leading up to Morning Magazine and Rafters Baseball. Morning Magazine today, we're going to, in part one, kick it off for the week with our good friends from the Historic Point Boss. We'll have Mike Hittner joining us. Looking forward to that.
Nice.
And in part two, Beth Konert is going to join us with Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Wisconsin.
Nice. Very cool.
We haven't gotten to talk with them in a while. It's mm-hmm. going to be really nice to have them on the air with us. Looking forward to it.
Yes, indeed.
And, of course, Rafter Baseball on your dial tonight, 6:20. Our pregame will kick off as the Rafters are over to Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing on, I was going to say, playing the Booyah. I'm going to keep doing it. Playing the Rockers. Looking to get back and stay in that win column.
Yeah,
as the Rafters were victorious last night, 3-2.
Mm-hmm.
Despite Phil Harley. I'm just kidding, Phil. I know what he's feeling, though. I've had that happen.
Isn't that
before.
Weird how that, yeah, sometimes works?
You start feeling like, is it me? It wasn't you, Phil. They won the game.
It was like that scene in Moneyball when Billy Bean finally comes to watch a game and then they start losing. It just feel exactly like
yes.
that. Yeah.
Yes. And let's continue a little baseball talk here, Seth, because we're going to get into entertainment now. And, of course, sports are entertainment.
They should be anyway.
We might have put an asterisk next to Aaron Judge's 2022 record of 62 home runs because he hit those dingers under if they had caught him, because when he hit the 62,
yes,
there was immediately a reaction from many of us of, oh boy, I hope he's not juicing, you know,
right?
And the fear of that and everything.
Yeah.
And now we know, obviously, he wasn't, and everything's kosher. And boy, it just in case he needed a reminder how good Aaron Judd is, he's shown you this past week.
All this last 14 days or something, he's been on fire.
The home runs are impressive.
Yep.
It is the 6-7 left, right fielder, center fielder that can pull the ball back in the, you know.
And he's good.
Yeah.
He's not just a guy standing out there. He's a good outfielder.
He's
yes.
a sneaky athletic guy.
Yeah.
Well, Dartmouth College was watching a lot of Judd last season and stuff, and they got the idea of this. The Dartmouth College says that climate change is responsible for approximately 50 more home runs per season.
Huh?
Here is why. When air heats up, the molecules move faster and away from each other, making the air less dense. That means less resistance, allowing the ball to go farther. Supposedly, there is a 1% increase in the likelihood of a home run with every degree the air warms.
How about that? Okay. So, now, things that we know already. Yes, the thinner the air, the farther the ball flies. Colorado, Arizona, great examples of that, and Las Vegas, if they go there.
Part of where I wanted to go with this.
Scary. But also, there are certain, like Oakland. In day games, the ball travels a lot farther when the sun is out and the air is, because in the evening in the Bay Area, you know, it gets more damp and everything, and then the ball doesn't fly as far. So that makes total sense. It tracks with everything else we already know.
It also makes me, like, I know that since we were kids and they brought in the Colorado Rockies and everything, that pitchers have been scared to pitch there.
Yes.
They have a hard time signing free agent pitchers in Colorado.
Yep.
What's it going to be like with the Las Vegas Athletics, which sounds just wrong to me, by the way. That just sounds so wrong. And I'm not against teams moving.
No.
Like, I understand that this is business. And that, you know, before we were even born, Seth, a billion teams moved a billion different places.
Of course.
Our own Milwaukee Brewers here in this state are an expansion team.
Yep.
You know, and that
came from Seattle. Yep. And before that, they had the Braves that moved from Boston, then moved to Atlanta. So, yep.
So it's not so much that as it is, like, well, where you're moving them. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
does it make sense?
The grass is not always greener on the other side. And guess what? There is no grass in Las Vegas. So it's definitely not greener over there. I hope that Vegas learns from hockey. Hockey, for decades, was struggling to bring in money. And one of the quickest ways, just like a country struggling, what is a quick way to create industry? War. Mm-hmm. And we've in the human history, we've had countries go to war just to get the buck back up or get their currency back up, right, and that kind of thing. I don't think America has done that, but I would say we've seen in other instances and everything. Mm-hmm. But with something with hockey, with sports, expansion teams. Mm-hmm. Oh, let's make a Phoenix Coyotes. Oh, Florida Panthers. So just keep on expanding. And then all of a sudden, you don't have enough good players to fill this. Baseball tried, and they had to take away teams. Mm-hmm. I don't like where this is going for baseball, just in the sense of it's not good for baseball.
No.
You're not going to get true baseball in Vegas.
No.
And the science is telling us that.
In fact, there was like 1996, the A's had to play a series or a couple of games in Vegas because of some remodeling going on the Coliseum. It's probably the last time they did anything there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that was the thing. I mean, the runs were way up. I mean, they were blowout games, and it's because the ball carries so far there. And it's like,
man. I feel like, if they do build it, maybe they're going to build a dome. I don't know. Maybe they'll build it in there with a dome. They almost have to, right?
Yeah.
Be interesting to see. But I love that the science backing all this kind of stuff up. That's
interesting. It totally makes sense. Yep. Absolutely.
Here's an interesting sentence. Weezer is opening for Kiss.
Never been uttered in human history.
No. Kiss announced they'll perform in Australia one last time at a one-off show in October, and their opening act will be Weezer.
Okay.
Paul Stanley said, quote, as unexpected as this is for us, we will make it unforgettable for all who share the night with us. Rivers Cuomo from Weezer is pretty stoked about it too. He said, quote, do you guys have any idea how much this means to me? After Australia, Kiss will come back to the U.S. for the final leg of their End of the Road tour, which ends December 2nd in New York.
Okay. We'll see.
Yeah.
End of the Road, maybe. Maybe.
The first true concert I saw was in 96, 97 when Kiss was doing their farewell tour. In 97.
How many times and how many ways can you say goodbye?
Yeah.
You know, they could just keep doing it. Why not?
It gets to a point where you can't believe them anymore. Like any artist, anybody, I don't care who it is coming out and saying this is like you. And I don't mean to be morbid here, but you could tell me some artist comes out and says, yes, the doctors told me I have 3 months to live. So I'm going to give one more tour. I don't know if it's their last tour. I don't know. I mean, with musicians, you just don't know.
You don't know. To take a page out of James' book, let's do a sports analogy here. Let's do one. Okay. Yeah, the season's over. The guy, he's 38, 39. He's like, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I just can't do this one more time. Spring training or whatever the training time comes along, and they're like, no, I'm going out there. Yeah. No, I can't quit yet. I got to go out there. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like that. They can't get away from it. They want to keep doing it.
Even when, like somebody like Celine Dion, who has plenty of money, she's very comfortable, all those things. She was trying so hard to get back out there. You see what it means to people to be able to do this and stuff.
It's that feeling. I mean, you can talk to any performer. You know, there's nothing like performing in front of thousands of people. That energy and what it feels like. It's like you can't not want it. Is kind of thing. You know, and I can understand that a little bit. Not to the extent that they have it, but a little bit I can understand that.
Growing up with an addict, I understand addiction differently and very well. So I'm very hesitant to say it this way, but I don't think I've ever been truly addicted to something like that, except for applause. For applause. I can remember to this day, you were talking about that, Seth, and the first thing to pop in my head, my buddy Jamal and I breakdancing for my Aunt Nay's community, her little apartment community in Covered Bridges. We breakdance, and we get done, and this huge applause from everybody. And I can still hear it and still feel it. There's nothing like that.
That's true.
I could live every day of the rest of my life never having it. But I needed it that one time.
And it still feels real good.
It does. Yeah. It does.
It's true.
And finally, in our entertainment section here, Marvel finally gets to make its very own Fantastic Four movie, but they haven't announced a cast yet, but it might have leaked.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, here we go.
So this could be spoilers, everybody here. Sort of.
Yeah.
So according to a rumor, and this is starting to look more and more, because this isn't the first time we've heard this, it's starting to look more and more like Reed Richards or Mr. Fantastic, the stretchy guy and everything to those that don't know the characters, Adam Driver.
Ooh, nice.
Not bad.
Not a bad bit of casting.
I think he's an amazing actor. I think he's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And while I would have liked to have seen John Krasinski, I thought he was doing a really good job, and he got built for that part. He's in it for like 5 minutes.
He's not in the movie very long.
He got good shape for it and everything. But I don't think he wanted it. I think he wanted to do that one thing for the fans, but I don't think he wanted the commitment of they've been trying so hard to make these movies work.
Yeah.
This is the third, I think, third incarnation, fourth, because I think there was an 80s movie or something.
You're talking about the 90s one. Roger Corman did.
Yes. So this is technically like the fourth reincarnation.
You are correct.
Of the Fantastic Four. And they got to get it right.
Like, yeah.
They're not going to get many more bites at the apple of this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, well, for one, it was one of Stan Lee's babies, like Spider-Man. Fantastic Four, very important to his heart and everything. Mm-hmm. And I think it's sad that he went away without it really being seen made great.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they've been bad, like horrible, but they haven't been what we expect because the expectations are so high.
Yeah.
That's the fan base for any superhero you can mention, the most obscure one, is insane. But then you've got the Fantastic Four, which is just on another level.
Right.
Like, I would say it's bigger than Captain America. The fan base of Fantastic Four is bigger than Captain America.
Yep.
Bigger than any of your second tier superheroes.
Right. Yeah. Only like the big guys, like your Spider-Man and stuff, are probably bigger like that. Yeah. The Avengers,
Batman,
maybe.
Superman, that kind of
right,
stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Exactly. And I think the reason why, is because that was the first comic that launched the Marvel superheroes again. It was the one, Jack Kirby Stan Lee are the ones that brought it. And the thing that made it different was that they argued. You go over at DC, it was, you know, like, oh, the Justice League, bunch of happy guys, you know, that kind of thing. No, they argued. They didn't get along. They quit. You know, they did these kinds of things that were, wow, no one was doing that in superhero comics at the time. And that's what people responded to. That's why it's so important. You know, it's called, the Fantastic Four is called Marvel's first family for a reason. And then to get it right. And I think Adam Driver is a good start, because if he's the one that they went with, I think he can do a good job with that.
The James Bond movies were slowly dying until Sean Bean punched Pierce Bronson.
Yeah, that's right.
And all of a sudden, James Bond took a punch. And it changed everything. And now they got a whole second life from those. And that's back in GoldenEye.
Mm-hmm.
The superhero game changed when Christopher Nolan started having more realistic characters and making these. Even the hero was an anti-hero. That kind of thing. So you'll never have the just typical hero anymore. They've got to have a little bit of a flaw to them now.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Adam Driver as Mr. Fantastic. Fantastic. Sue Storm or the Invisible Woman, Margaret Robbie.
Whoa!
That's a get.
That is a huge get, considering her involvement in the DC extended thing. So, wow.
That would be a really nice casting move
That would be.
And I don't know if she's done playing Harley Quinn or not, but if she is, that would be a nice little jump for her.
Stay in the game.
Yeah. I've never seen her do a bad scene.
Excellent actor.
I think she's incredible. Mm-hmm. I think she's really, really good. They got a Barbie movie coming out with her and Ryan Gosling. And I was watching one of those things on YouTube where you can watch like 80 trailers in a row. Me and my sister are addicted to those things. And we just watch like 90 trailers in a row. And one of them came up for the Barbie movie. I'm like, oh, God, this is going to be god awful. And she pops up and is, oh.
Wait a minute.
This looks different. I'm probably not going to see it.
No.
But I mean, just even seeing her in a trailer like gets you intrigued, gets you thinking and stuff. She is a very, very solid actor.
Yes.
Johnny Storm / the Human Torch will be played by Paul Mescal. Paul, not a household name.
Right.
He's probably best known for the British series Normal People or the movies Lost Daughter or After Sun.
Oh, okay. Well, they've made a few stars in the MCU.
Yeah.
They could be the next big one.
And Benjamin Grimm, the Thing, would be played by David Diggs from Hamilton. He's also the voice of Sebastian the Crab in Little Mermaid. David is just one of the most talented human beings I've ever seen.
Yeah, wow. That's an interesting bit of casting. I like that.
He was my favorite part by far and away of Hamilton. Easily. I believe he was in the Snowpiercer TV show.
Yes, I think you're correct, yeah.
He's had a nice career going. He had, for a while there, had a great commercials going with the Sesame Street gang for DoorDash or something like that. I really like those commercials. Those are really good. I thought
those
were really
classic,
good.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. This wasn't leaked. All right. This wasn't like somebody what happened with the fool giving Pentagon stuff put out there.
Yeah,
yeah. There's two different worlds here. Like, there's that, which is wrong and messed up and everything. And then there's this where Marvel's like, hey, I feel confident about this. Let's see what the audience thinks. Let this quote unquote leak
out
and seep out there and see what they say. Now they get a good turn up. Like, oh, yep, you caught us. That's what we were going to do.
Yeah.
That's the cast list. If not, well, we never officially said it was the cast list, so
it's a good way to plausible deniability, right? Yeah,
yep.
Exactly.
It is screen testing. It is every movie you've ever, well, I should say every blockbuster you've ever seen, every big movie that has had a wide release you've ever seen, you are not the first person seeing that.
Nope.
That has been
focus groups,
test groups have at nauseam, especially nowadays where God, they the amount, like but the last time I was in a movie, they told me, and I had like four lines, and they told me, hey, you're not going to be able to sign up for anything for the next 6 months because we got to take it to this testing group and we got to take it across the country to this group. They take it overseas nowadays and they test
it
there.
Right, because it's so big, yeah.
Like, so you're stuck under a contract. You can't do new work. Oh, I'm in Wyoming filming a Western or something. No, you're under contract. You got to be available so that if we need to do reshoots, you're available.
Unless you're doing reshoots, they're not paying you.
No.
That's something to keep in mind.
You're just sitting there for 6 months turning down paying jobs.
Yeah, because of this. Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, I can't imagine what Stanley Kubrick would do today in today's day and age. Like, he'd have to start his own movie company.
He would.
I don't think he could handle the.
Nope.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Nope. Welcome back to the morning show, everybody. Locally grown radio.
Oh, that was a great reaction. I love it.
I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I apologize, but no bumper for that one.
No
bumper for this segment. No,
too bad.
You got a little taste. Seth and James here with you on the morning show. 9:24 on the clock. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate the best listeners in radio, every one of you out there. Thank you so much. Is it still going? It's still going. Okay. We're going to jump into our next topic here before Melissa's news. And this is newsworthy. It comes to us from Wisconsin Public Radio. Big shout out to our friends over there. And Gabby Vinnick, she's wonderful. She does great reporting and a great person. Wisconsin DNR warns of turtle road crossings during nesting season.
Ooh, okay.
With road mortality a leading cause of death for turtles in Wisconsin, the State Department of Natural Resources is urging the public to keep an eye out for the animals crossing the road this summer. Wisconsin is home to 11 native turtle species, according to the DNR conservative biologist Andrew Baji. He said the agency is primarily focused on three of the rarest species in the state, the ornate box turtle, wood turtle, and Blanding's turtle, all three of which are endangered, threatened, or a species of special concern.
Wow, okay.
Quote, if you take one female turtle out per year, population can suffer quite a bit, he said. You only need a handful of males in a population to help reproduce with the available females.
Okay.
There's a crazy stat I heard here. They usually say a turtle needs to live anywhere from like 30 to 50 years to replace itself in the wild, depending on how successful it is laying its eggs.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's a pretty interesting stat, I think, just alone, just on its own.
Exactly.
It's pretty interesting. But it becomes that much more important when we understand how vital it is in this state.
Right.
Now, I'm going to get some feedback on this one. James.mailoff@civicmedia.us.
All right.
You can go ahead and email me this one. I can't think of one of the most cowardly things I could think you can do as a driver is when you see an animal in the road and you try to hit it. You're not a man. You're not tough. You're not strong from that. You look like a punk to me. Just speaking for myself, you look like a coward, and you look like somebody who's overcompensating. If I'm being completely honest, any of these animals we should be keeping an eye out for. Obviously, I don't think anybody that talking to the people out there with an actual brain and conscience. I don't think anybody wants to.
No,
but it's important to keep a lookout. We already do this for deers. We do this for other drivers.
Yeah,
it's not asking that much to keep an eye out for these turtles as well. Now, maybe there are people out there that don't know what to do when you do see a turtle.
Yeah.
If you do encounter a turtle on the road, Baji says to first obey the rules of the road, avoid slamming on your brakes, keep your hazard lights on when you get out of your car. If you want to help, move the turtle in the direction on the side of the road it's facing to help them get to their destination.
Oh, that's good. That's interesting information. Yeah.
So again, whatever the direction the turtle is facing,
yes,
that's where you want to take it.
Yeah.
You don't want to bring it back the other way. It's just going to keep going.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody else's problem. If you put it on the wrong side of the road, it just might end up crossing anyway.
Anyway, right.
And this is according to people that actually know what they're talking about. There's also a DNR citizen science data project called the Wisconsin Turtle Conservation Program for people to report turtle sightings and submit photos.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Since the program began, more than 7,500 reports have been made, with about half being confirmed turtle crossings.
How about that?
And if you want to add to that, you can go to... I would Google it. I was going to give you the website. It's WIATRI.net. Basically, WIATRI.net. So, yes, I would Google Wisconsin Turtle Conservation Program.
Yes, and you'll find it, I'm sure, easily.
I just tried it, and it popped up right away for me. So, yeah, it's this is one of those things that we all work together on and can make this a lot better.
I always enjoy it when the public is involved in these kinds of things. I think it adds another layer of care to it. If people are involved, they're like, oh, wow, I really care about this thing. And then and not only do we get a lot of great data, but we also get, what they're looking to do right now is to help the turtles. Yeah.
And this is a really cool website.
It is.
It is a very cool
website.
A lot
of great stuff
actually.
On there.
Yeah,
man.
This is really cool. I like this. So, again, Wisconsin Turtle Conservation Program. When you see our little turtle friends out there, maybe take a picture or report to them. Let them know about it.
Exactly.
That is pretty cool. That is pretty cool. And watch out for turtles, everybody. Turtles
Please
are awesome.
Do. Yes.
Turtles are cool. We'll take a break. We'll come back after Melissa's news and have some more fun here on The Morning Show at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Welcome back, everyone, to The Morning Show here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Seth and James here with you, taking you through the next segment. Hope you're having a great, great Wednesday out there, everybody. Mm-hmm. Yes, I did almost forget what day of the week it is.
That's okay.
Yes, I did.
It's short week syndrome is what it is. Yeah,
that's a great terminology for it, too. I like that. God, that's such a good intro to a song.
Isn't it?
It's so good. What's the most dangerous thing you have done this week?
Oh, jeez.
Driving?
I don't know. Bitten by a mosquito, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, actually, I was trying to get something off a shelf, and I had a chair out. I did the one thing my dad would scream at me for. I had, like, this rockety chair that I was standing on and everything. Yep, yeah, that was foolish.
That was dangerous, yeah.
You know when you're, like, because most things you just do it, and you don't realize until after you fall or something.
Yeah,
this bad.
That was really stupid, yeah.
You know when you're doing something, and the first thought in your head, this is stupid. You shouldn't be doing that.
What are you doing?
Why are you doing this?
Self, what's going on here?
For some people, it may have been cliff diving or into shark-infested waters or an effort or, all these different things. There's tons of different stuff. For others, it may have been eating raw cookie dough.
Oh, geez.
The CDC has been ramping up its warnings about consuming raw cookie dough, not just because of the salmonella dangers of raw eggs, but because of E. coli risks associated with eating raw flour.
Flour, yes. Oh, my gosh.
Plus, didn't anybody see This Is the Last of Us or whatever and everything? Everything came from flour or whatever and stuff. That's where they...
So, you know, zombies, always, you know, in the background. Always in the background. You watch out for those zombies. Yeah.
In a recent poll, most people are not concerned. 55% of Americans, 55% say that they think raw cookie dough is safe to eat, with 20% saying it's very safe. Wow.
I love that. They don't just have safe, they've got very safe. Yeah. It's an option.
Words don't mean anything of what they used to. I don't know why we have verbs and nouns and all this stuff anymore. It doesn't matter.
It's a jumble of, it's a mess, yeah.
Because I want to put an emphasis on something, and nothing can be just good. It has to be very good. It's one of the oldest things in the world. It just gets so lame to me, this, doing the kind of thing like that.
Yeah.
It just gets really old. 21% of people who don't think the CDC should be warning people about the risks of foodborne illnesses in raw cookie dough.
What?
21%.
What? Oh, my gosh. Seriously? If I don't see it, it's not there.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
If I don't know about it, it won't hurt me. Yeah, that's basically what it is.
It's not how life works.
Head in the sand, man.
We were talking about bears earlier. If a bear is behind you and just starving and ready to do damage to you and you don't see it, doesn't mean the bear isn't going to attack you.
Exactly.
Well, if I just ignore the bear, it'll go away. Nope, not how life works.
Oh, man.
67% of Americans admit to eating raw cookie dough in the past, and 51% say that they have done it regularly.
Nope.
The cross-section of people who are most likely to say that raw cookie dough is very safe is Midwesterners between ages of 45 and 64. So it's me.
Right in our, yeah, basically, yeah.
But I don't do this. I wouldn't do that.
Why? Let me throw this out there. Mm. The finished product is so good.
Yeah.
Why waste the dough by eating it when the cookies are, they're better, in my opinion. That's the whole reason you do it, is to make the cookies, to bake the cookies. Come on.
I will give this little bit of grace.
Okay.
Because of and only talking about necessarily that age range, you know, 30s to 60s, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
When we were growing up, we loved cookie dough, but it wasn't, you know, not a lot of things had it. Nowadays, mm-hmm. there are Twix cookie dough. There's every ice cream has a different cookie dough version.
Dairy Queen, Culver's, everybody. Yeah.
Tons of safe ways to eat cookie dough.
Yeah.
There's a lot of safe ways to eat it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you really have an excuse anymore.
I don't know how anyone would like cookie dough over the actual cookies, though. That's weird to me.
I'm with you on this.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I think you got a great point there. Like, why settle? Go ahead and get the real stuff.
Bake those suckers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll come back with more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. I'm on point today with these bumpers.
Yeah, you're doing really well.
I'm doing the ramping right up there. I'm ready for music again. It's a good thing, too, because starting next week, we're going to be doing more music in our morning shows.
Yes, indeed.
We got our lineup all set here and everything for the next couple of days. Tomorrow, our co-host will be CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns. Looking mm-hmm. forward to getting the band back together there. That'll be mm-hmm. fun. And on Friday's show, we're going to have the as you guys have called it, the James Gang.
Mm-hmm.
Seth and Melissa will be, all of us will be together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it's going to be on Monday as well, as we kick off our new lineup.
Yeah, that's right.
I've talked to a lot of listeners about this already. I am so thankful to our listeners and the excitement that they have about some of this.
Oh, good. Glad to hear that.
Change is rough. Change is weird. Nobody likes change. But every great thing that has ever happened began with change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think our listeners get that.
I think so.
And just a quick reminder, and again, we'll talk more about this on Friday's show and everything.
Yep.
But starting on Monday, June 5th, The morning show will be, we'll have an hour morning show called The Sunrise Show on WIRI, Wiss Country 105.5. And just to give you guys a little tease of what that's going to look like, you know, it's going to be a little bit similar to our first hour here on WFHR, where we get to talk and we, you know, find out how everybody's doing and those things.
Yep.
But then we're going to get into right away a little bit of history, a little bit of birthdays, a little bit of, you know, for country music, for country stars and stuff. And let's say, hey, today's Clint Black's birthday. Well, here's some Clint Black. And then we'll just go right into the music.
Yep.
It's the hour is going to be more music filled than probably be about 60-40, about 60% music, 40% talk.
Yep.
We're also going to be working to interact with you more. We're going to poll questions. I've got a great first poll question,
I think. Awesome.
We're going to do some of that and get you guys calling up and joining us on the air.
Yep.
That hour is probably going to be used a lot for having guests on. That tends to be the 7 o'clock hour is a good spot for that.
Yep.
So we're looking forward to it. And then we'll come back here from 8 to 10 and do 2 hours of morning show over here.
Just like you've been hearing us. Yep.
And Morning Magazine is the one that is really throwing people off because it's going to be called reworked as a Midday Magazine, and it'll play at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes.
Which is nice because we haven't really had a presence in the afternoon.
It's nice to it's great to have a foothold there now, you know, to have something in the afternoon. And, you know, we'll see, possibly building on that. That'd be great.
Yes. Yes. To that point, we are looking to put more shows on WIRI. We are looking to put more shows here on WFHR on the weekend.
Yep.
I don't want the audience to think that we're losing anything here. We are moving things around a little bit.
Yep.
We're not losing. In anything.
Yeah.
And we're only going to gain from this because Sage and the gang at Civic are very encouraging on us to create new shows,
create
more original content for our stations.
Yep.
I hope them and the audience understand we got like five people in this building.
It takes a while.
I alone produce and create the content for 4 to 5 shows.
Yeah.
Like, that's just me, let alone Seth, what Melissa does with the news that is on her plate.
Yep.
So we're, you know, we're hoping you guys work with us on this.
Yep.
We don't have to do this alone. We can do it with you guys. We want your feedback. We want to hear from you about how you think these things are going, how you like the content we're creating and that. You can email us anytime. You can, of course, easily direct message us on Facebook and those things. So, you know, this is your show, everybody. This is your stuff. We want to do right by you. This is not about me. This is not. You can tell right away where the ego falls with some people, especially in radio. Well, it's my show, so it's staying. Like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, it's about you. You don't care about the listeners.
It's about you, yeah.
And I have no respect for that. If you were in radio for that, go start a YouTube channel. Go start a podcast. You want your 15 seconds of fame. Don't pull our team or our audience into that mess of your ego and all that. Miss me with that.
Yeah.
And miss me with this one. This is a That Ain't Right story, Seth. Gen Z's new favorite term is bed rotting.
Bed rotting?
God, that sounds horrible.
That does sound terrible.
It's basically where you stay in bed all day and relax. So, a little tie-in to our word of the day today. Nicely done, Phil.
I like Phil's word better.
Much better.
Than bed rotting.
Much better.
Yeah.
I'm guessing Gen Z'ers have not heard Phil's word. That's what it was. They got to listen to that segment.
That's what they should be listening to. That's right, man.
Or join our friends over at Quality Plus Printing here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Phil will tell you exactly what it means. Yeah.
There's not much more to it than that, than basically laying in bed all day and relaxing. That's bed rotting. And there aren't many rules either. You can't. You can sleep, eat, and watch TV, or just stare at the ceiling. The only rule is you're not allowed to feel guilty about it. The terms bed rotting and bed rot have been trending online. Videos about it have racked up over 300 million combined views. It's appealing to young people for a few reasons. It's lazy. It's not just appealing to young people.
It's just anybody. It
sounds nice to anybody.
Yeah.
Well, anybody but me, I would say.
Well, I was going to say, it's about not having a care, you know?
Yes.
For a short time, you don't have to worry about anything. I get that part, but again, you're right. Yeah, you couldn't do it.
It doesn't cost anything. It's an easy topic to make a TikTok about. And if you have roommates or live at home, you're probably spending a lot of your time in your room anyway.
True.
But some people think Gen Z's obsession with self-care has gone far enough now. And maybe the next trend should be a get up and actually do something.
Look, I think we've been very clear on this about, you know, self-care, good. We self-care is good. We need to do that and everything. But like everything else, you know, you got to find the balance.
Yeah.
You got to find the balance. I don't see myself rotting in bed anytime soon.
No.
It just doesn't sound very fun to me. It really doesn't.
I literally almost came into work on Monday. Like,
I'm
like,
not surprised.
I thought about it and I'm like, oh, I don't have to work today. And then after that thought was like, well, but I could, and I could get this, and this done. And there's nobody in the studio, so I can probably get this, and this done. And
man.
Yeah. I would terrible. Not make it 5 seconds doing this. But I'll tell you this.
Okay.
And I don't think, and I'm not saying that like that's healthy. Like there's having a good work ethic and then there's being crazy like me.
Yeah.
And I admit that wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. But it ain't any better on the other end of the spectrum of being ultra lazy either.
No, it's like, not.
There's a balance you got to find.
There's
there.
The balance. And that's what we're all looking for.
I don't think you're going to hear many people say that self-care or focusing or, you know, trying to take care of your mental health is a bad thing, especially in 2023.
No.
Nobody's saying that. But you can't take these things so far.
Yeah, right.
It's like my argument about with some people, and I get into this with my students sometimes. Like I've had students before where this one person, I don't like my job. Oh yeah, well, what about it don't you like? I don't like this and this and this. So you don't like job. You don't like working.
You don't like the work. Yeah.
So what you do, you're working. I don't like dealing with customers and checking people out and this. I'm like, oh, that's your job. Like, of course, not everybody loves their job.
No.
That's life. That's especially, that's your 20s. Like,
all the bad jobs, right? Yeah.
You get through that so that you can get, you know, earn a good resume, earn a good, you know, thing so that you can eventually, if for one, maybe find what your path is.
Yeah, exactly.
And to build up to get to that path.
Right. Or continue your education, you know, so you can get to that point. Yeah, exactly.
Everything in life is like this.
Yeah.
You got to work. You got to build for it and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, outside of the people born with a silver spoon in their mouth or whatever.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I got to flip that up.
Oh, man.
Okay, so silver spoon in the mouth. Where did that come from?
Okay, yeah.
If the baby's family is rich, the baby spoon might very well be made of silver. In a way, it represents the luxury and ease of the rest of the baby's life.
Gotcha.
The phrase seems to be an American in origin, and it was first used around 1800.
Oh, wow. It's been around for a while.
Wow, interesting.
Interesting. And it's not just the fact that you have a silver spoon, it's in the mouth.
Yes.
See, that's the kind of the insult, a silver spoon in your mouth. Yeah. Cake eater.
Taking a break. Come back after this on the morning show. All right, now this is all right. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Spider-Man and Freeze in full effect. Hope you're having a great one out there, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Happy hump day.
All right.
Good stuff coming up for you. We got Morning Magazine all locked up and ready to go. In part one, we're going to talk to Mike Hittner and our friends from the Historic Point Boss. We're going to preview their Pioneer Festival coming up.
Love that local history.
And in part two, Beth is going to join us from Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Wisconsin. We'll talk with her about that program. Really looking forward to that. We don't get to talk with them nearly enough.
Yeah, that's cool.
And of course, Rafter Baseball on your radio dial tonight, everybody. Rafters in Green Bay to take on the Rockers. Maybe beat them bad enough to go back to Booyah. 6:20, our pregame kicks off.
You know what? I was in Madison this weekend, and my family drove past their stadium that the Mallards play at. Mm. And I was joking around with my family. I was like, you know, we should come down here with all our Rafters gear when they play the Rafters and kind of invade their thing. I was like, because then I thought, oh, wait a minute. That may not be such a good idea. I think the Rafters beat the Mallards every single game they played last year.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, wait, maybe that's not a good idea.
Might be a little rough. Speaking of Rafters, of course, not only will we have every Rafter game here this season, and we're going to have the players joining us to meet your Rafters, and we're talking with Taylor and the gang over there, Tyler and the gang over there, everything. Looking forward to that. But we got Rafter tickets to give away.
We do.
We're going to be giving away Rafter tickets starting tomorrow, everybody.
Yeah.
Be listening right here to the morning show and pretty much all summer long.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be plenty of opportunities for you to win Rafter tickets. We're going to be giving them away like crazy. A big shout out to one of the best organizations locations in the Northwoods League. The Rafters, really appreciate them.
Even over the back fence, I think I'll be giving away some tickets, too. So
definitely.
Be Saturday sure to, listening,
be sure to join Seth for Over the Back Fence every Saturday from 11 to noon. With all your calls, your thought, things you're looking for, all that, garage sales. And Trail Tunes is tomorrow, right, Seth, from 7 to 8?
It is, 7 to 8 on WIRI, Trail Tunes, my cowboy western south of the border show. It's been, I've had so much fun putting that show together.
Good.
Like, talk about that Clint Eastwood song that I found. I found some real, some obscure stuff that is just great, but it's a lot of fun.
It reminds me in some ways of the polka show, which you can catch every Saturday at 7.
Yeah, that's right.
You were not just taking the easy, the low-hanging fruit, the easy stuff. You're like putting a lot of work into this.
Really I put some classics in there, but some ones that everyone knows. But no, I'm trying to find some interesting things, too. Some newer stuff, too. Some newer artists recording those classics. So
I like that.
Check it out tomorrow, 7 to 8.
Got a that ain't right story here, or an interesting story at the very least. Former high school listed as single family home in Oklahoma. A former high. Now this is not a senior prank like the other day we were talking about. That the people in Maryland that put the high school up on Zillow and everything. Yeah. It's still a great one. That's a great one.
Yeah.
Well, a former high school in Oklahoma is listed for sale online as a single family home with the asking price of $60,000. The 17,000-foot building, originally built as a Burbank High School in 1924, is listed on Zillow as a single-family home with five bedrooms, four bathrooms, and one indoor basketball court. Yeah.
I love the little addition there. And an indoor basketball court, yes.
The high school closed in 1968. There is plenty of opportunity to make this property your own, the listing states. The larger lot size and open floor plan provide endless opportunities.
I love how they spin this stuff. It's great. Yeah. I love it. That's why real estate agents are so happy.
Yes.
They get to come up with these.
We figured it out. Yeah, we figured it out. That's why. It makes sense now. It all adds up.
It all comes together, everybody.
Yeah. That is interesting. I would live in an old high school.
That would be weird. I mean, that seems very strange to me.
I am not one of those people that wishes I was young. Like, I am fine with my age. Yeah. I do not have any interest in going back to high school or any of those things.
Mm-mm.
But turning a high school into a home, that doesn't sound so bad.
No.
But good luck trying to upkeep that.
That would be tough.
Yeah.
That would be tough. On the other hand, never have to wait for a bathroom.
that part.
You always will have a chance to go to the bathroom.
I'm sold. Like, now I'm not going to settle for anything less. But
then you got to clean all those toilets.
That's a good point.
I just thought about that, too. So, anyway.
We got to get a palate cleanser in here. We got to have some local good stories of the day, and Seth is going to kick it off for us.
Just a reminder, everyone, the Southwood County, NEPCO North Park, and Dexter County Park beaches are all open. They opened up this last weekend. They'll remain open through Labor Day. And the Wood County Parks and Forestry beaches are not staffed. And they are unguarded, so keep that in mind, everyone. Dogs are not allowed in the beach areas. If you want to get a camping reservation or a shelter reservation, go to parkreservations.woodcountywi.gov. You can reserve them there. Or if you want some more information, 715-421-8422 is the number to call.
Mm. And got another one there, don't you, Seth?
I do, because it's Wednesday.
Mm.
And James and I haven't had a chance to do this in a very long time, because at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693, there's something happening tonight. And that's what...
Bingo! Yeah, we're off.
Yeah, we're a little off.
We haven't got to do it in a while. We got to get practice and again do it.
Doors open at 5. Bingo starts at 6:30. Go have some fun. Go support the Elks. Go get some food at Two Hearts Catering. They will be open tonight as well. So check that out.
Support our Elks Lodge. They support us. They put back in this community. Enjoy bingo, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Our good friends at Focus, feeding our communities with United Services, of course, have their building over at 2321 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. And they have meals in house meals served every Thursday over there from 4:30 to 6. Appreciate our friends at Focus and appreciate everybody that is able to make it there and volunteer and help out.
Yes, indeed.
And a quick reminder that the United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties have their Stuff the Desk event coming up. And we encourage you to apply to that. Stuff the Bus Desk is a collaborative community initiative led by the United Way to ensure every student has the supplies they need to learn. All families with financial need are eligible to receive free school supplies. All you got to do to register register is get over there and you register. Make sure you do it before August 3rd at uwswac.org, or you can call 211. Just make sure to register. We'll talk more about this with Terry.
Yes.
Of course, Rafter Baseball on the radio dial tonight. That is good news. I wanted to wrap up with a really good story here. A Maryland man who worked as a garbage man as he made his way through classes at the University of Maryland has graduated from Harvard Law School.
Wow.
His name is Rehan Staten, and here he is talking about his journey through law school and graduating.
Just different types of poverty, right? There was like housing insecurities, food insecurities. A lot of times we didn't really know like where we're going to be able to keep our home. There will be some days in which I just didn't have time to get to the shower and just change my clothes. And so I would kind of sit off to the side because of how I was dressed. And that was very uncomfortable, but we made it work. It's nice to be able to say that we finished this. Things are on an upward trajectory. We made people smile through it. I'm just excited.
It's motivation, Holmes.
Wow. That's awesome. What a story. Self-deprecating, dude. Yeah, I had to sit on the side there because I wasn't smelling so good after work.
I hope throughout your day today, you can take some motivation and some encouragement from Rehan there.
Yeah.
And all of us.
Great story.
There is no such thing as a dog is too old to learn a new trick or anything that. Does the dog want to learn?
Yep.
That's all that matters.
All that
doesn't
matters.
Matter, and you can continue anything you want to do.
That's right.
Seth, have a great day.
You too.
Have a good one out there, everybody. Stick around for Morning Magazine coming up right here on 97.5. You know what? I like the way Pam does this. I'm just going to let her do it.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.